punch me hard, and it really describes some of the things that I've gone through in the last couple of years. And the quote is, "You are either green and growing or ripe and rottening." Let me say that again. You're either green and growing or ripe and rottening. And I came to realize that I was ripe and rottening. I remember in my late teenage life, God began to deal with me about Himself. You know, you don't find God, He finds you. And the Lord really, I can remember as a kid outside laying on a grassy bank, looking up at the sky and feeling God. I remember days like that. And God was reaching out and drawing me. And I really, you know, as a kid, you don't understand what that's all about. But God was loving me long time before I accepted Him into my heart and life. And I remember in my late teenage, I got saved when I was 19. But I remember going through some stuff that just kind of messed me up. I mean, I was hurting. And it's amazing that a lot of us don't come to Christ at all unless we're hurting. That's a shame. It should be the goodness of God, and it is the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. But a lot of times when things are going well in our lives, I don't know about you, but about me, when things are going good, I have a tendency to forget about God. And I think that's pretty much a human frailty that we have, that prosperity, we get to trusting everything around us, and we forget where it comes from. And so I was hurting. I'd been in some situations, and it wasn't good, and I wasn't in a good place in my life. And God was drawing me and dealing with me, and I started reaching out to God. And I remember watching television. Anybody remember Rex Humbard, the old Cathedral of Tomorrow? You just dated yourself. 1971. Rex Humbard. His wife's name was, does anybody remember? Rex and Maud Amy. Maud Amy was her name. Rex and Maud Amy Humbard. But he would just talk about Jesus. And he'd preach the gospel and just tears running down his face. And me, a young teenage boy, and God dealing with my heart, I'd sit there and watch that. And I'd notice tears running down my face. And I had such a hunger for God. God was reaching out to me. And I became a Christian a short time after that. And I never will forget the voracious appetite that I had for the things of God. It was abnormal. It's like I was starving. And I was. I was spiritually deficit. Even though He had done something in my heart, I wanted to find out all I could find out about God. I wanted to know Him. I wanted to know Him in a real way. And I used to have to go to church when I was a kid. And then all of a sudden, I got to go to church. Something changed. I didn't have to go anymore. They used to have to get me up and say, "Let's go to church. We're going to church." And now I got up and was waiting on them, and I was ready to go to church. I was reading my Bible. God was dealing with me. I was growing. And for a period of a few years there, wow. I couldn't get enough. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody else ever been there in their life? I mean, I think most of us have been there. And then I began to realize that I had a call on my life. And I began to pursue that. And I went to Bible school. And I wanted to learn all I could about this call that was on my life. And I remember in 1978, I got my first church. In fact, since 1978, I have had a church from then until this day. And tomorrow, I hope. I hope I still have one tomorrow. But I've had a church all those years, some 32 years. I've continuously had a church. There's not been one day I was not pastor of a church. And God just worked in my life, in my heart. And it's real easy in your life to quit focusing on your own relationship with God and focusing on ministry. And I noticed something that began to happen. I quit studying for me, and I started studying to preach. And not long ago, a couple years ago, I realized that I was no longer green and growing. And I was doing ministry. I was getting people saved. I was doing all of the right things. But personally, I was ripe and rotting. I had allowed certain things, not sin necessarily. I wasn't chasing women or backslidden or getting drunk or high or anything like that. I was just busy. Does anybody ever just get busy? We get busy in our lives and we let things slip. And I just neglected the very core of my being. I neglected certain things, and I would only study so that I could teach, or study so I could preach it. And a lot of you who teach and preach and have been involved in that understand what I'm talking about. And, you know, you get into a deficit and you quit growing. You're ripe, but you're beginning to rot. And God began to deal with me. I invited Him to. I prayed a very dangerous prayer a few years ago, and this has been my prayer for some time. I said, Lord, I want You to show me how to love people like You do. I want You to let me see people the way that You see them. And that's a very dangerous prayer, because in order to do that, He had to come back and deal with some of my attitudes. And this has been an ongoing painful process that I've been through. And I have had to become a very disciplined person in order to gain back. I left my first love. I left my first love. It's kind of like, you know, when you first get married and you're all excited about marriage, and then life starts happening and kids start coming along, and the first thing you know, you start drifting in your marriage. And I drifted from my first love, my passion. I lost the hunger that I had for the things of God. I still love God. I still serve God. But I lost my heart. And God is helping me to regain that. It's taken a very disciplined lifestyle. I've had to change some things in my life. He has dealt with some of my attitudes. And some of it's very difficult to deal with. But one of the things that I feel like that He's led me into is this thing called circles. And I'm just going to introduce this today. This thing is so huge. I told Mark the other day, I don't know how I'm ever going to get this out. This series could last a year, but it won't. But I think that this may become a teaching style and a reference point that we continue to go back to, kind of like the purpose-driven life. You know, purpose-driven. And coming back to our circles. And what we're talking about with circles is our relationships. And these are relationships of love, relationships of priority, relationships of influence. But we'll get into that later. But I want to read the scripture. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Next week I've got some handouts. I've got a challenge that I want to give you over the next few weeks. To, if you're kind of where I was at, gone from green and growing to ripe and rotting, I've got a challenge I want to give to you. And I got a handout that's got a target on it, circles, and a scripture that I want you to pray and ask God and give God permission to do certain things in your life. And this is the thing that I want to challenge you to do. But I want to introduce it to you today. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It says, keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all things that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. The Message Bible, that same verse says, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. On the inside. See, you're kind of two people, really three. You're an inward man and an outward man. The inward man is the spirit and the soul. The outward man is the body. And too many times we live more by the outward man than we do the inward man. But this is saying that it's the inward man that's the important part. It's the inward man where life starts. A terminology that we use in this church a whole lot is life-giving. We want to be a life-giving church. We want that to be our heart, to be life-giving. Well, where does that life come from? It comes from the inside. It comes within the inward man, and it goes to the outward man. We want that to be our focus. What we're really talking about in this series, you remember about a year ago or a little bit longer, I did a series, and one of the things that we talked about was the law of capacity. Does anybody remember about the law of capacity? That you can only receive from the Lord in proportion to your capacity to receive. If you're operating out of something this big around, that is your capacity. And if we're going to be able to receive more, we have to do what? We have to increase our capacity to receive. Had you rather have a thimble full of gold or a 5-gallon bucket full of gold? How many of you know you can't get 5 gallons of gold in a thimble? You're going to have to get a 5-gallon bucket to hold 5 gallons of gold. And if I got my choice between the two, I'm taking the 5-gallon. Excuse me for being carnal, but I'm taking the 5-gallon. But in order to do that, I have to increase my capacity to do that. And this is one of the laws of I think it's a kingdom law, that we have the capacity to increase ourselves. See, we're not like animals. Now, animals can learn tricks, but you know why a dog barks? Why don't a dog talk? I know. I've seen AFV. Rawr, rawr, rawr. Why can't a dog talk? It's not his nature. It's not within his capacity. Why does a cat throw its tail up you and flash you and walk away from you? As Craig Rochelle says, they're of the devil. You know, no, that's their capacity. They are that because they're cats. They cannot change that. But you and I have something that no other of God's creatures have, and that is the ability to choose. And through your choices, you can increase or decrease your capacity for things. You can increase your capacity to the flesh. You can decrease your capacity to the flesh. You can increase your capacity to the things of God, or you can decrease your capacity to the things of God. What we want to talk about is how to live a life where you don't walk away from your first love, and you learn to live your lives by a pattern that flows out of a relationship that you have with God. You have that capacity. You have that capacity. Look at your neighbor and say, you have that capacity. You really do. Okay. If you're going to change your life, you're going to have to change your heart. If you're going to change your life, you're going to have to change your heart. I'm speaking to Christians now, okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 12. This is a very familiar verse of Scripture. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's King James. Amen. You didn't know I could quote King James, did you? I can. Most of the scriptures I learned in King James. But I'm going to read this one from the Message Bible. This will read differently, okay? I'm not saying that this one's better than the King James, for you King James only folks. But this just says it different. It says this, listen. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. That's pretty plain, isn't it? You know, sometimes we want to do that with our Sunday life. If you only do that with your Sunday life, you have limited your capacity. He wants your everyday life. He wants your sleeping, your eating. He especially wants your going to work. Because that's where your biggest circles are. Okay? You're going to work. You're walking around. place it before God as an offering. You're the only one that can do that. When you offer yourself to God, guess what? You're placing yourself in a place that God can change you from the inside out, and your capacity can increase. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Wow. I want to read that again. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't be so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Isn't it amazing how we get so caught up in the world that we live in? And I'm not talking about the sin. I'm just talking about the busyness. Is anybody here busy? I'm busy. I don't know about you, but I'm busy. I've got things that pull at me. I've got people who want to talk to me. I've got things I need to do. I have home things that I got to do. I have to mow the yard. There's always stuff to do. But so much of the time that we allow the culture around us to pull us, and guess where the first place that usually suffers is? It's our time that we spend with God. Well, God understands. Yeah, I know He understands, but that don't help you. That don't help you. If you're wanting to be serious and increase your capacity to be something for the kingdom, you cannot ignore your priorities. You cannot ignore the circles of priority that God wants to build in your life. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. This is God's way. This is true spirituality. It's when we're changed from the inside to the outside. Religion wants to change us from the outside. Quit doing this. Don't do that. Don't wear this. And it's trying to change us from the outside in. You know what? You could be a whited sepulcher and on the inside just full of dead men's bones. Jesus said that one time. But God wants to change us from the inside out. We sing that song, "Change Me from the Inside Out." Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. Wow. Don't let the culture cause you to become immature. Okay? God brings the best out of you, and He develops well-formed maturity in you. And that's what He wants to do. That's what He wants to do in us. That's what He wants us to become. So this is what we're going to be talking about. As I begin to think about this, the word is heart. H-E-A-R-T, heart. And I begin to think about this. We'll be handing you, it looked like a target. It's got circles, and on the inside is what we call the core or the heart. This is the inner circle. And what we want to learn to do is live out of the inner circle of our lives. You have to make choices. You have to have a discipline in your life to do the kind of life that I'm talking about. Did you really understand that Christianity is a disciplined lifestyle? That's why we call it disciples. They're learners, but they have to be disciplined to learn. And this is the thing that I'm discovering about myself. The more disciplined that I am, the more focused I become. The more disciplined I am about certain things, the effects begin to happen. Now y'all, and please don't clap or nothing like that. They did in the first service. But I've lost a lot of weight. But that hasn't been a diet. That has come out of a discipline from the inside out. And I want it to be out of my relationship with God. Not because I'm on a diet. Okay? And when you get disciplined about certain things, that you have a purpose, there are certain things that you want to do, and it becomes the discipline of your life, it works from the inside, it changes your inside, but it works its way to the outside. Now, I'm not eating cake, okay? I'm not eating fried food. I mean, I have a discipline that I do certain things. I exercise. I count calories. I do that. But it's more than something like that, because I've been on diets before. I've done Atkins. I've done Melipuka. I've done all kinds of diets and lost 30 pounds and then put it back on and put 10 more. Can I get a witness from anybody? I mean, I've lost one or two of me. I wish I lost the bad guy. You know, I probably gained and lost 200 or 300 pounds in my life. But the difference is that I was trying to do things out here. Now I want to do things from the inside. It's a discipline. And I want my whole life, my spiritual man, and I want it to be a spiritual thing, not just a physical thing. And this is the kind of things I'm talking about, that when God begins to change you from the inside out, it'll change your heart, but it'll change your circumstances that are out here also, not just your weight. I'm not harping on that. That was my deal. That was my issue. But it'll change your marriage. It'll change your family. It'll change your work situation. It'll change your influence. It'll change so many things in your life that needs to be changed. You know, every one of us have needs in our life. Every one of us need to grow in areas of our life. Every one of us. If you think that you've arrived, at the end of the service, come up here and let somebody pray for you. We'll cast something out of you that needs to be cast out. This spirit of deception. None of us have arrived. The church is not full of perfect people. The church is full of people who are seeking to be like Christ. And we're all in different levels of growth where that's concerned. There's some that are immature. There's some that are kind of mature. And there's some that thinks they are. And, you know, we're just all different things. But as I begin to think about the core, I begin to think about words in a circle, the center of the circle, the core. I begin to look up things and I come up with words like kernel. Ah, what's a kernel? It's a seed. Then I came up with the word that just opened it up to me, and it was the word nucleus. Nucleus. And in biology, where it talks about the nucleus of a cell, there are some interesting things there that I want to talk. I want to talk about the qualities of a nucleus. Number one, it's an impermeable, did I say that word? Impermeable membrane. That means that it's designed not to let stuff in, but it's designed to let stuff out. And I got to thinking about our heart, and it says, above all that you guard, guard your heart. Don't let things in that don't need to be there. Now, a nucleus doesn't have a choice. Humans have choices. You can choose to let in your life whatever you choose to let in your life. You can choose to be selfish, self-centered. You can choose to be anything that you want to be as a human being. You can allow in your heart anything you desire to be in there. You can put your spouse there. You can put your children there. You can put your car there. You can put your stuff there. Or you can put Jesus there. And the Bible's talking about, if we really want to understand how to live life the way that it's truly designed to live on purpose, then we need to learn how to let God in there. And we need to have that to be an impermeable membrane that does not allow anything or anybody else inside that circle. That's your core. That's what a membrane, that's what a nucleus is designed to do. Now, here's some other interesting things about the nucleus. Number two, it's the control center. It's the control center. It controls all of the functions of the cell. Everything comes out of, and it controls the function of the organism that it's the nucleus of. The next thing is that it contains the genetic material, or the DNA. The DNA comes out of the what? Out of the nucleus. The DNA comes out of the heart. Now, let me say something to Christians. Let me quote a scripture to you. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. That means the old sinful man has passed away. All things have become new. What's in there? The new creature. We baptized a while ago. Symbolic. Stephen was saying, my old man has died. We buried him. We raised him up out of the water. And we're saying, the new man who is created in Christ has come. And when we as Christians realize what's on the inside of us, our heart, our nucleus, the DNA that's on the inside of us, it's no longer our DNA, it's Jesus. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Glory. Okay. Woo! I just had to get that out. So it contains the genetic material or the DNA. The next thing that the nucleus controls is the function of the organism. Everything flows out of the nucleus. And here's some of the things that it does. Number one, it maintains the integrity of the genes. What your inner man is designed to do is control the integrity of who you are. Have you ever noticed as a Christian that many times there's a battle between your flesh and your inner man? You know, before you became a Christian, there was not that much conflict. Your heart was wicked. Your flesh was wicked. And they were, I mean, you're out there doing the things of the flesh and you were having a high old time. You become a Christian and start trying to do that. Guess what happens? You've got conflict. You know what's happening? Your heart is striving to maintain the integrity of who it is. Wow. That's huge. See, if we'll learn to live out of the core, if we'll learn to live out of our heart, we'll be a whole lot more victorious. Number two, it controls the activity of the cell by regulating gene expression. That's what it's designed to do, is regulate the expression of that gene. It should come from the inside to the outside. Number three, the nucleus is responsible for the growth and the reproduction. Your growth should come from your core. Your growth should come from your core. Let me say this. Sometimes the Spirit of God just quickens things to me. See, sometimes we feel like that what we need in our life is another person so that we can be who we're supposed to be. That's not true. Now, God will bring people into our lives, but it's not so that we can be who we need to be. Who you needs to be needs to come out of your heart. It needs to come out of your heart. I love my wife. She is a blessing to me. She's God's gift to me. But I'm a whole person outside of her. I don't need her for me to be whole. If I needed her for me to be whole, then something is wrong in here. It's a core problem. You see, we got to go back to the core. If we're having those kind of issues out here, then we have to come back to our core and we have to get well so that God can bring the person into our life that He has for us. Otherwise, it's a dysfunctional relationship. Okay, just want to say that. Moving right along. Number four, the nucleus is the essence of the organism. When your old man dies, he's dead. The new man alive in you is your essence. Now you can choose not to allow that to happen. You can choose to live in the flesh if you want to, but that's not your essence. That comes out of your heart. And your spirit man is desire and expression in your life so that you can become who you need to be in Christ Jesus. We're going to get into this more later. Number five, the nucleus makes the organism what it is. My relationship with God should make me what I'm supposed to be. I have a purpose. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. I'm a pastor. I'm a teacher. That's my purpose. I have other purposes. I'm a husband. I'm a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a friend. I'm all of these things. And my relationship with God should make me a better one of those, whatever that is, that I'm designed to be. And it'll do the same for you. It'll make you a better nurse. It'll make you a better teacher. It'll make you a better spouse. It'll make you, it'll just do so much more if you'll learn to live out of the core, because it's designed to make you what you should be. I got this idea, the John Osteen quote that I used, it really brought this to me, because we have a tendency to build boxes. Now I'm talking about relationships now. And remember the quote, "They built a box to keep me out, but love had the wit to win. It drew a circle that let me in." And a lot of times we do things in our lives and we do them in boxes. And the reason that we do them in boxes is that we're trying to keep people out of our box. I only know one circle in my life that nobody else can be in, and that's the core. Well, my spouse. That circle. But really, we're not to draw boxes. This church is not to be a box. It's to be a circle. Well, this is a church for alcoholics and drug addicts. No, that's part of our circle. This is for whole people. This is for old people. This is for lost people. This is for growing people. This is for curious people. See, we need circles that include people in, not boxes that keep people out. So we got to learn in our lives to have circles that include people. Now, different circles will have different priorities. There's nobody in that inner circle except me and God. If I put my spouse in there, then guess what? My relationships are in trouble. If you put anything in that middle circle that don't belong there other than you and God, then none of your other circles are going to be right. This is what we got to learn. And we're going to spend several weeks talking about that and how to do that. But all of these circles are circles of responsibility. They're circles of love. They're circles of priority. We are not to have anybody in the world outside of our circles. Let's talk about circles. The first tier of circles is the core. It's you and God. The second tier of circles is you and your spouse, you and your children, you and your extended family, your grandchildren, your relatives. The next tier of circles would be the people that you work with, the people that you go to church with, your friends. The next tier of circles is the world. And then there is the tier of circle that is the circle that you live in 24 hours a day, people that you come in contact with. We're all in the same circle right now. Every person in this place is in this circle. When you walk out of this place, you walk out of a circle. But I have responsibility to everyone that I meet everywhere. It's different. I may hear a name that somebody that needs prayer. I may not be able to touch them, but I can pray. That's my circle. There may be somebody that I can speak a word to that comes into my realm, and they're in my circle. And if I am living where I can, that I'm not being motivated by fear, I'm being motivated by love, guess what? I can speak into their life if God shows me what to say and do. That's in my circle. So we have circles, and they're not to exclude people, they're to include people. And that's what we need to be about, inclusion, not exclusion. I've got a handout that I'm going to hand out next week. Joe, get ready to come. That we're going to hand out next week. It's got a Psalm scripture. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I'm going to challenge you for the next few weeks to begin to pray that prayer and ask God to search your heart. He already knows your heart. You just need to give Him permission to show you your heart. And you're going to be surprised when He begins to show you your attitudes. He begins to show you your boxes that you built in your life, where He wants to erase those boxes and turn them into circles. And we're going to talk about establishing priorities of love and influence and circles for the next few weeks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Can we all stand together?